Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 516, I think. I'm not sure. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Standing down and standing by for this podcast. Yeah.
Earl is here.
They're fine people, very fine people on both of this podcast. So, the finest.
We're off to a rolling start. It is episode 515, by the way. Not 516.
This is fake news, the fake news podcast that, you know, they just make up facts, they make up numbers. The numbers are going down, and they should be going up.
What numbers exactly?
The podcast numbers.
Yeah, that's true. They went down. They should be going up.
This is why you can't trust the people in the fake news podcast.
This is pretty much all we do. So. It's been a quiet week for a change in games. Not much in the way of news. We will get to the little bit of news there. But there were some games that came out, including one pretty big one today. I don't know if big, but it's free, and it stars one of the biggest characters in games. Yeah, the price is perfect, Tony.
The price is right. There was the other game that came out today. For some people, it didn't come out today. For other people, it comes out tomorrow. I don't think either one of you paid it.
What game is that?
Star Wars Squadron.
Right. No, I have that game pre-ordered. I don't believe I can play it yet.
Oh, because if you do the Xbox trick where you make it think you're in New Zealand, you can unlock it.
Oh, okay.
And then I think some PC versions have unlocked depending on different. It's weird. Like, some of them are based on region. Some of them are just kind of based on a universal time when it turns its midnight. So.
Yes. I am getting that game, but I have not. I did not change myself to Australasia, so.
Okay, can I just ask real quick? And maybe it's just I did not realize this game was out tomorrow. I feel like it's so weird that there's a Star Wars title, which actually is interesting, that it's just kind of being dumped out there, but maybe I'm just not in tune with it.
I have not seen, like, outside of, like, you know, game circles and maybe some, like, previews online, I have not seen a lot of, like, advertising for it. Like, when, what was it, Fallen Order last year?
Yeah.
When that came out, like, they were advertising that in front of football games. And granted, there was a movie also coming out very shortly, so Star Wars was kind of everywhere. This, not really out there, which is a shame because it seems like it might be really good.
Yeah, that is the weird thing. It's like, we have a product that people might actually want, and we're just not going to market it.
And it's because I think everybody saw that, you know, when they initially announced it and it was like, oh, like, they kind of focused on the multiplayer stuff. And that's kind of really been, even the preview cycle has been focusing on that. People were like, this, like, seems like it's just going to be a multiplayer only thing. If there's a campaign, it's probably going to be really short and just multiplayer type battles. Evidently, the campaign is 16 missions long. Like, so it's a chunky single player campaign. It's fully voiced and acted, and seems like it's a pretty good Star Wars game. So
I might have to play this thing. Damn it!
Yeah, and it's budget price too, $40. If you have EA, I guess it's EA Play now, not EA Access. You get 10% off of that, so it's like what, $30.
And pretty soon we'll all have it for free. So
yeah, because EA Play will be included as part of Game Pass November 1st, I believe. That was news that came out this week as well. So Star Wars out there. Earl, you're not a big Star Wars fan, though, are you?
No, but I mean, that's usually why I know Star Wars stuff is coming out, because I kind of get annoyed by the amount of people talking about it. So I had a friend who was like, oh, the reviews are dropped. I'm like, wait, what, is out tomorrow?
Yeah, I mean, I had talked with Jeff about it, but, like, he was just kind of questioning, like, is anybody even getting it? And of course you knew the answer to that from me, but like, everybody else kind of seems like, yeah, whatever. So there's a Star Wars game coming out. So weird, but yeah, the game you can play right now and not be in New Zealand is Super Mario Brothers 35.
Yes.
I can't believe there's been 35 Mario games already.
I was about to say, I'm pretty sure there's probably more than 35 Mario games.
How are you defining a Mario game, Tony?
I really don't know.
I don't think Nintendo knows anymore either.
Is Mario in it. Okay, he's a character. Therefore, a Mario game. That's
there's like 200 of them, so... There's like the Mario Olympic games, Mario Kart, regular Mario games, Mario Tennis, Mario Golf.
Soccer. At this point, like, there are sub-series that are like Mario Kart. I don't like are Mario games, but like, they have their own entity now. Mario Party is the same thing. It's like its own entity. Mario Golf, Tennis, Baseball, Soccer.
They're all their own series now at this point, but. I guess you can make an argument that they are Mario games.
So. And they are Mario games, but it's like I mean, and Nintendo tries to be very clear with this. Like, the core games tend to be branded with the Super Mario moniker.
Yes.
And everything else is just like Mario whatever.
And this would be a, I guess this is a core game now.
It is. I mean, it
Super
is.
Super Mario Brothers 35.
Yeah.
You want to lay out what it is, Earl? As you're the group champion here,
the group champion. Super Mario 35 is a it's essentially a Tetris 99 version of the original Super Mario Brothers game. So you play the traditional Mario Brothers game, and as you kill enemies, get coins and stuff like that, you send them off to different. You play with 34 of the people. You send it off to their screens. So, you know, you're basically just bogging them down with enemy types and slowing them down, either trying to beat the ass Mario standing or have everybody else's time to run out. If you've ever played NES Remix, it's kind of like that, where it takes the core game and then it remixes it with elements. So, like, you can, any enemy you defeat or any enemy defeated goes to somebody else's screen. You kill a Goomba, that means a Goomba is going to somebody else's screen. And they highlight this by having them be a different color. So the ones that are sent over from your screen are gray compared to the ones that would traditionally be there. So like if you played the original Super Mario Brothers, which I assume most people have, you know, like the first thing you encounter is a Goomba. Then you have the coin blocks and the mushroom. And that happens. Then you can go back to that stage, and we'll get to going back to the stage in a second. You can go back to that stage. And I had it once where I went back to that stage, and the first two things I encountered, you encountered the Goomba. Then right behind that first pipe were two Bowsers. And those Bowsers are spitting fire, because that's what Bowser does.
Yeah. And the first time I came across a Bowser not in a castle, like just out in the world, I was like, oh God, what the hell is that?
I came across two of them. And honestly, it's not even the Bowsers. The ones that starts to screw me over is the second stage in Mario is the underground stage, which tends to have like the bricks on top, so it kind of has like a ceiling on it, which you can use to navigate, but it also means that your verticality is limited. And I ran into the bloopers, the squids, and the squids have very their patterns are somewhat defined, but it's a lot more sporadic than the Goombas, the Koopa Troopas, and any other enemies, because they can go in multiple directions. Like, they'll squeeze down and they'll, like, zing. But they can go back. Like, most enemies will move from back and forth or up and down.
Yeah.
These things can move up and down and left and right. Not at the same time, but they do move that way. So it's always, like, waiting out to see where they're going so that you don't, like, jump into them and they launch above you and knock you out or something like that.
Yeah, getting the water enemies in regular levels just very disconcerting, because
yes,
they act like they're in the water, but you are still in regular land, and like they can get in your way.
Yes. The bloopers, not the bloopers, the cheap cheeps, mm-hmm. The cheap cheeps were always kind of, there were always stages where they would appear on land. But yes, it's a lot more disconcerting if you get them again, if you're like underground and you don't, like they tend to be in more open spaces or underwater, and they function differently underwater than they do above land. So it's like learning those patterns. And then it gets to a point where you can have, again, it's, this is a 35-year-old game. So, like, you can do a lot more on the Switch. So you can get to the point where there's something like a dozen enemies on screen. But the flip side to that is that's what you want.
Because because killing enemies grants you more time.
Yes. So the thing that I think you have to get used to, and this is the thing I like about it, is I remember when it was announced, I think we said, and I know I said on Twitter, like the assumption was like this is just going to benefit Mario speedrunners. It's the people who know how to get through the game the fastest. Where actually I think it would hurt them because like you actually have to slow down and play this game. You actually don't want to rush through levels because you want to kill as many enemies as possible in the correct way, which means you want to chain them. So you want to do the jump. You want to jump as high as you can, jump on the next enemy, jump on the next enemy. You want to chain as many jumps, kills as you can. So either you're doing that jump chain or you're hoping and praying that somebody sends a Koopa Troopa over your way and there's a bunch of Goombas lined up behind it. Because like you get, okay, and here's the other thing that's kind of backwards. Is that the Fire Flower in the original game is probably one of your best power-ups behind the Starman. You actually don't like the Fire Flower. Like, you like it because it gives you 3 hits, but if you kill an enemy with a Fire Flower, you'll get 1 second. If you kill them with a jump, you get 3 seconds. If you chain it, you get 4, you think you get 4 seconds for every consecutive enemy, and then I think at some point it goes up to 5. So yes, that actually does not benefit you because by the time you shoot the fireball and kill the enemy, you're not gaining anything. So you want to jump. You want to take that risk reward. The other enemies I shoot with fireballs are the ones I can't jump on, like the piranha pants. And again, seeing them outside and just like on a stage,
sitting out there.
Yeah. And then like, the worst
you can just show up on a platform too. Like you're jumping to that platform. So, okay.
Yes, that's the other thing. It's like, because like you sometimes don't know. Like you can kind of see your enemies are coming forward, but you don't necessarily know where they're going to show up. So I've had it where it's like, okay, this piranha pants on the edge of the platform. So you have to get enough momentum to clear the gap, but also enough to jump over it and then behind it. Yes, you want to do that. So there are times where I just will, like, so like I was saying, World 1 and World 2 are kind of the ones people most know. And if you know World 1, 2, in the original game, you can go through it. There's this, you know, at this point, I don't even know if it's a secret. I think everybody uses that exit to get out of the stage.
The warp pipe, right? Yeah.
Behind 1, 2. Now, because usually it would send you to, you get to pick between World 2, 3, and 4. Now it tends to be a rotation of levels, which could send you back to, it could send you back to 1-1, 1-2. It could send you forward. It could do, and it's random, so you don't know what you're going to get when you go over there. What I tend to do is 1-1, 1-2, 1-1, 1-2, because it's the easiest. It's a simple one. You don't have to worry too much about the vertical, the stage layout, and there's enough enemies that like they tend to be chained up between pipes, so it's really good to kind of get them with turtle shells or doing a jump. Combo.
That's a good strategy because I've been just trying like, all right, like I figured out like going slow makes the most sense. Kill as many enemies as you can. That's how you get your longer runs. But if you're going straight forward through the game, and you get unlucky and it does go 1-1, 1-2, 1-3, 1-4, like 1-3 requires you to do some like more jumping, and there's less enemies in general on that level. So, you know, it's a little bit harder because you're not getting that constant time bonus. And then you get to the castle, and the castle is not really filled with enemies either.
No, and then that's one, like, because the hazards tend to be the trap in that one.
Yeah.
So you're dodging a lot more. But the flip side is if you go later on into the game, because, like, the first world really has the Goombas, the paratroopers, and piranha fans.
Yes.
If you go later on into the game, you can throw in bloopers and cheap cheeps and the Hammer Brothers. Hammer Brothers are even more annoying because they're more annoying.
They jump and throw something that you have to avoid at the same time. So yes,
and in the core game, they're usually designed around being near question mark blocks so you can run underneath them and hit them, where you might just end up with 2 or 3 on a stage where you can't really navigate.
Yeah.
Or you're going to have to do the thing where you take a hit and you just run past them. But to help with that, and the reason you also want to take it slow is you also want to collect coins, Because if, for every 20 coins you collect, you can also use the item roulette. The item roulette will go through and pick an item at random for you. So you can get a Starman, you can get a Firefly, you can get a Magic Mushroom, or you can get a Power Block. And, you know, depending on your strategy, it varies on what you want. Sometimes you want a Starman. If it's a bunch of enemies, you can just run through. Sometimes you want the Firefly just be, again, you get the three hits. The Power Block is really great because it kills off everybody on the screen. So if there's a ton of enemies and you get that, you are racking up the points and sending them somewhere else.
Yep.
And the other strategy, much like Tetris 99, if you play that, is you have control over where you send your enemies. So you have random, which I think is on by default. You have attackers, anybody who's attacking you, which is, actually can be better at times, because let's say three or four people are attacking you, you're going to send to all of them. You have the person who has the most coins, which again makes sense. You want to get them to waste out their coins. So if it comes down to you, you can kind of buy yourself a bunch of time by just getting power-ups and killing enemies. And then you can have the person with the least amount of time, which again can kind of be beneficial for them depending on how they play, because then you can just send a bunch of enemies that way to rack up some time.
Yeah, I was picking up at first. I was like, oh, this one seems the most sense to knock them out. But actually, I, you know, fought it out and was like, no, I'm sending them enemies that they can kill. And if I'm only playing these early levels, like, they're just getting time back. So that's not helping me. So I'm mostly just leaving it on random or going at the attackers.
Yeah, that was the one I quickly earned, was not the one I would go after. Like, it makes no sense. But the ones with the most coins, like, long term, that makes sense, because where it kind of gets into how good you are in actual Mario is when it gets down to like the final five, because then at that point it's not like I'm sure Chris has lost to, like, sometimes you get over eager and you're just kind of trying, and that you miss a jump, you jump too soon, you jump too short, and it's like, yeah, when you kind of can get to slow down and think about it, it's fine. It's like when you're trying to, like, oh crap, I have no enemies on the screen, I need to make a move. That's when you start making mistakes.
Yeah, it's like you see your clock running down, and it's like, I gotta get moving faster, and you make a ill-advised jump.
Yes. That is the basics, as we explained for like 10 minutes. The other thing is, it's like any kind of battle royale game, if you played them. So, like, there's daily challenges. Like, today is simply, I think it's out less than 50 opponents. It's getting 30 coins or something like that, and finishing 30 stages in the game. So very simple stuff to kind of get you understanding the basics. The coins are kind of your XP bar. So the more coins you get, the more XP you get. And that basically, as far as I could tell, that just unlocks different types of logos for you on the title screen. It doesn't do anything other than show that you have it. But I mean, I've played enough free-to-play games to know that cosmetics are a big thing for people, so whatever. And then they have special bouts. So the special round right now is just a random assortment of levels. So at Chris's point, I played one today, which starts you in, I forget if it's 2-1 or 2-2, where it's like an underwater stage. And the underwater stages are the worst ones to get, because like, you need a fire flower to do anything effective.
Yep.
And even then, there doesn't tend to be a ton of enemies for you to kill.
No, like, if you end up getting that, like, when you're in the final five, like, good luck, because you're going to burn through your time, you're not going to send a lot of enemies over, and it's just they're a pain.
yeah. That's also one of the reasons I kind of did a loop, is because I don't want to go too far to get these levels where it's just like, okay, let me just get through here as fast as possible because it's not doing anything for me. But yeah, and then like you might do 2-1, then you might do like 8-4, then you might go back to like 1-1. So it's like levels for enemies cycle. You all have the same random cycle, but you don't know what it is. I mean, you can kind of cheat, I guess, if you wanted to. Again, if you want to play very patiently, you can look at other people's screen as they're playing to see what's next. And sometimes I'll do that at the periphery of my eye. I'm like, oh, okay, so I see a sky, so we're gonna go like above ground or something like that. But yeah, I mean, I will appreciate any battle royale game I can win in. I won my second game. I went from level 2 to 16. And then I won my third game. And then I won one more. So I've won 3 times today. And, you know, it's the type, again, that's just like really fun to pick up for 5, 10 minutes or half an hour or whatever it is. I mean, will it be fun in 6 months? Who knows? I mean, we won't know in 7 months because it won't be around. But I mean, for now, I'm having a blast with it.
Yeah. On one hand, like, I think that makes sense. Like, it takes a lot to keep a battle royale active and people wanting to play it. So like cutting it off at 6 months, like, hey, like, there's not any, we can't do any more here with this thing. But I do wish, like, for game preservation, like, it would be nice if it stuck around, but whatever.
I will say this much, and I forget if I'm a huge fan of NES Remix, and I think this is the same school of thought. I wouldn't even be surprised if the same team that made this. But I think there is something to be said about taking an old game and kind of re-envisioning it in some a slightly different way, because it's like, especially with the original Super Mario Brothers, I've said before on this show, and I've said constantly, Super Mario Brothers is the closest thing video games has to a language, where you kind of understand how it works and how it's supposed to work, which is why Mario Maker can actually exist, and not every game can do that.
Right.
So I like that you take that internal knowledge that everybody has for some reason, and you flip it on its head, and you have people look at it in a different way. And I wish more people would do stuff like that. Yeah, like, I know, you know, like I said, I'm a huge fan of NES Remix. I have Sega, Konami, Capcom, who will release all these games, and that's a great way to do it. But like, there are ways to kind of reuse those assets in new and interesting ways. I mean, Nintendo's done it with Mario 35. They've done it with Tetris 99. I mean, I think ideally Mario Maker is the best example of how to reuse assets in something new and creative. But I play this game, and I'm like, I want more people to take risks. Not even risk. Like, if you set Mega Man on this, like, Mega Man would be fun because there's a challenge to that. There's a certain level of skill involved in that. And it's like, I think Fall Guy, I think Tetris 99 also showed that a battle royale game does not need to just be shooting stuff.
Yeah, it's like, here's just a Outlast at you know, your skill level with this classic game. Everyone knows how to play. Who can do it best? Like, it's a brilliant concept, ton of fun, and we don't always need to run around a map and shoot people. Those are fun too, but
oh yeah, a ton of, like, fun. But
simple like competitions like this are they're a blast. Well, that's Super Mario Brothers 35. Tony, you said you haven't really played anything this week.
I mean, I've played Apex Legends, if you want to hear about that more.
Well, I mean, I mean, not necessarily your update, but I mean, I guess in a bit of news, it's finally going cross-play.
Yes, cross-play starts next week in beta. Apparently, its consoles are bundled together with consoles.
Yes.
Unless there's actually a PC player in your group. Which I guess is good, because I really wouldn't want to play this against a PC player. It's like a completely different game on PC. It moves so much faster.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the nature of mouse and keyboard. You're able to kind of like snap aim. And
yep, it's easier to do everything. Like aiming, reloading, like the key bindings, fix it so you can get like everything customized to a T. And it's just, you don't have that on console.
Yeah, on console, it's more everyone's even, right? Because they're all using the same keyboard, same control bindings for the most part. I mean,
and probably the same amount of auto aim assistance.
Yes,
right.
So yeah, I agree. I wouldn't want to play with PC players. Did you say you can play with PC players if they're in your party?
Yes.
So there must be a reason for that. I'm not really sure what it is. You know, maybe you can get one console player together with two PC players and then destroy everyone.
I would hope that they bundled them into PC, though. Like, you're playing against a like the PC hopper as opposed to the console hopper.
Right.
But I guess what you'll find out.
I mean, it'll be nice, like, the bigger player base to have, like, Xbox and PS4 together.
Yeah,
that'll be good. I think it'll make it easier to like get into matches. It'll go faster.
Yeah, I mean, it's not terribly long, but there is a little bit of a delay trying to get into matches. Like, they do match for a little bit of time.
It's not bad if you're just playing normal. If you're playing ranked, ranked can take a while.
Yeah.
Rank can take like 2 minutes or so to get in, to actually connect to a match, and then it has to load in.
Yep.
So that can take a little bit of time.
All right. Well, we'll be interested to hear what you have to say about the, if you run in any PC players.
Game of the year.
Last year, but
let's stick with Mario. I don't have a lot to say about Super Mario Galaxy on the 3D All-Stars thing, but I finished that. That game's still fantastic. We'll say I'm not in love with the motion control stuff that you need to do with the controller. It's not a lot. There are levels, though, where you have to... Yeah.
The manta rays and I think the ball, the roly ball thing, are the two big ones.
I think they're both optional, though. I don't think you have to do them.
I mean, you don't have to. I mean, because I think I dare you have to just get like 60 stars to beat the game.
Yes.
So if you wanted to, you could skip them. But I mean, yeah.
Yeah. And the manta ray one's not actually that bad because it's just a gyro. And even the ball one's not awful. The ones that I don't really like are the ones where you have to... point to the blue kind of like stars.
Oh, and pull back.
Yeah. The ones with the spider webs where you're shooting yourself, and then the little blue ones where you're kind of using gravity and they're like they're pulling you towards it. And yeah, there's one that's a race.
That's
just annoying. And I didn't find it annoying on the Wii because the pointer is a little more accurate.
Accurate, yeah. Because it's not a pointer, it's essentially motion control.
Yeah.
Which is similar, but not the same thing.
Yeah, it's fine. And like you can ultimately skip that level if you wanted to, if like you're not trying to 100% it. But I didn't find any real problem with the star bits. They just kind of end up with you because... You know, as you're playing, you're going to move your controller anyway. You're picking them up. They do come in handy when you're fighting bosses and you need like a coin or something for a pick me up.
Yeah.
Health. But otherwise, you don't really need them. So, outside of the few like the motion control stuff, it's fine. Like that game is excellent. It's never frustrating. Like
some other games.
Yeah, in that collection.
I will say, and I've not played it, but I've seen footage of it. I've got to it when I beat the other two. It's much like Sunshine. It's also a game that holds up really, really well visually.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, if you said it came out this year, it wouldn't be the best looking game this year. It wasn't the best looking game that year either, but it's still quite a hooker.
Yeah, and it's actually, like, Sunshine looks good, but this, like, has... There are those weird levels, like the ones where they take away your jetpack, that just like have weird, dull backgrounds, and just like the galaxy background, and it's not much, but it's just a little bit like they look nice, like it just looks like you're out in space, and it doesn't just look like we threw some shit on a wall, and because everything has like a nice cohesive language to it in the game, so. It's a lot of fun. It's really great. And that's it for Mario. Earl, you have Crackdown 3 down here.
Yeah. Like I said, I've played I have several different games I'm playing with friends throughout this pandemic, quarantine, shelter in place, lockdown, whatever you want to call it. And I have one friend who we're playing let's say not high quality games with. We did Resident Evil 6 and then we did EDF 4.1. So we beat EDF and we beat Resident Evil 6. We were looking for a new game. And I remember Crackdown 2 kind of having that reputation of being rough, but you know, it's a co-op game. So I'm like, oh, that Crackdown 3 I heard was better. So we fired that up and this is not the jank I was looking for. I assume it gets better later on, but it feels so sluggish and weird to control. That like we played it for like half an hour, and I'm like, this isn't for me. I imagine it's like the original Crackdown, where like as you get agility orbs and you level up, you'll become more nimble. You'll start leaping around the city. But I think the big thing with, you know, I mean, everybody knows the story of Crackdown. The reason it got big was because it came with the Halo 3 beta, and everybody wanted to get in on that, yada, yada, yada. But the game was fun. It was different. I think what's happened in the 13 years since then is we've gotten a ton of open world games, but we've also gotten a ton of open world games that kind of don't necessarily take themselves seriously. Saints Row took the ball and ran with it. We've had a Prototype. We've had Infamous. But I think more than anything, at least for me, is we had Spider-Man and we had the Batman Arkham series. And it's like, oh, I get to be an actual superhero in an actual open world game. And I get to feel like a badass from the get jump. Like, there are, you know, you level up and you evolve in Batman and Spider-Man. But from the jump, you feel good. Like, with Spider-Man, he can web swing throughout from the start of the game. You'll get different abilities and stuff like that, but he can do it. Batman can grapple hook and he can use his cape to guide throughout the game. Where Crackdown just starts to race, so there are times where like enemies don't look like enemies, they just kind of blur into a the background. Sometimes the auto aim works, sometimes it doesn't knock onto an enemy right in front of your face. The physics sometimes seem wonky with as what you can and can't do. So yeah, it wasn't, I mean, I might go back to it to play it a bit, because again, I understand the loop of the game, but I also felt like it was weird that I don't think it evolves in any meaningful way. I don't even think, like, I remember one of the big selling points before it came out was like, oh, it will have all these destructible environments, and no, that's not here either.
It's that all kind of got ripped out when the original team, I think Sumo Digital ended up making this. In the end, the original team that was working on all that destructibility got bought halfway through, and they kind of backed out and stopped making it. So that was why it was delayed, and all sorts of issues with this game. I found it fun. It is Crackdown 1, just looks better, I guess. It's nothing special, but I thought it was fun ultimately. Like, you know, as you're getting those agility orbs, you're jumping around and getting, you can do more cool things. Just, you're right. There are better superhero open world games though.
Yeah. So yeah, we'll see. I think we're going back. We're just going to buy, we bought EDF5. So that will be next week.
All right. Tell me about Murder by Numbers.
Murder by Numbers. I mentioned last week that I've gotten into Pacross. Yeah. And so this was a game that I was kind of interested in for a while. I mean, a while, it came out early this year. And I was, you know, I was hesitant to buy it because I like the concept, I like the setting. But I was like, I didn't know if I would be into Picross. And now that I'm into Picross, I'm like, you know, it's an ideal setting. So it's a visual novel meet Picross. It's essentially a murder mystery in the vein of the Phoenix Wright series. So it's, you know, you play as Hope. I don't even want to try to pronounce her name. She's a TV actress who played a detective on a TV show who gets fired from her job at the end of the season. She, you know, she gets fired. She goes to the parking lot. Her actual boss, who just fired her, ends up murdered. So she's trying to solve the case. She finds like this robot called Scout, who lost his memory. And to reconfigure his memory, you're solving the Pacross puzzles to kind of like it create images in his head essentially, and they team up and they kind of like, she uses her fake TV detective skill, he uses his memory bank and stuff like that to kind of work together to solve these murders. And it's really cute again because you get one, it's set in the 90s, so it kind of makes sense. Like, you know, at one point he's like, I have 300 megabytes of memory. I'm like, that doesn't hold anything these days. But yeah, so like, he'll investigate stuff and he'll find a cue, but he doesn't know what to do with it. So you solve the Pacross puzzle. And then like once you solve that, you know, then you have to investigate, you have to talk to different parties, and you have to know which cue to use at the right time to kind of get them to open up and to continue the story. So I kind of like the loop of like, investigating, solving these puzzles, talking to the people and the characters I like Hope. I really like the main character. And a lot of the supporting characters are great too. I mean, for the most part, they have like one defining trope about them. Like Casey's the gay dude, Becky's the prima donna actress. There's Detective Cross, who's just kind of like this hardballed cop who's on, you know, he's older. He's afraid of being retired or replaced. They have that like one trope, but they do work with it. They do interact with a bunch of different characters and make it work. I think it's a ton of fun. Visually, it's very cute. It's presented to you in a very stilted manner, in the sense that like it's just not talking heads, but it's just like a cardboard cutout of the characters on the screen, and they just kind of they'll move left and right, but they will wear the same clothes. They don't really change animations. The closest thing they do is like they'll have a worry mark, or like they'll have something come down to express some type of emotion. But I still think it's cute. I think the minimalist thing works because, again, you kind of have an understanding of who these characters are and their voices, so you can play it out in your head. I'm in the second act, so you know you solve the murder, and then you accidentally get involved in another one, and I imagine you'll get involved in several more before it's over. And then, like, for each one that you solve, you know, you get points basically, you get points for solving the puzzle without using hints or tips. And as you do that, you level up your detective rank for the story. So if you get a certain rank in the complete chapter, you also unlock secret puzzles, and then you unlock more of Scout's memories, which is also the backstory of that character. So it's a fun game. It's very cute. It's very adorable. It's like $15. I'm enjoying it.
Okay. Sounds pretty cool. So. See, the only other thing I think on our list is Mafia Definitive Edition, which I've been playing. You guys ever played the original Mafia?
I played Mafia 2.
Okay, so this one I think came out. Oh, this one obviously came out before Mafia 2, because I think they came out on 360 MPS3.
Yeah, it was 360.
Yeah. So Mafia was on the original, like the original Xbox, and then PlayStation 2. I think it came out the same year as Grand Theft Auto 3. This is a complete remake of that game, and it's interesting to kind of take a look at what would have been a contemporary of GTA 3, because GTA 3 was entirely open world. This is more chapter based. Like the open world is there, but you play through missions, and once that mission is over, the chapter ends and you get a little more story, and then a new chapter starts. And while there's no reason to engage with the open world at all. It's just there. So it's an interesting approach. Like it's more level based. You know, traditional adventure game type styling than something like GTA, which is
that's how Mafia 2 was too. There was a huge open world, except you never got to go into it.
Yeah, which I think is fine. It's just it's weird to call it an open world game, which is what I was expecting going in, and it's not at all. Like, I actually prefer it because it's not like there's not that bullshit where it's like, oh, go do a race here. We're going to do a mission that involves you doing a stupid race so that we can then put stupid race icons all over your map that you're never going to do because they're terrible. But you know, we're going to like GTA 5 does that. It makes you do the race so that it can then give you that sub activity to go do if you want to. This is just like, if there's a race, it's a very specific reason for the race. There is a race. You race on a racetrack. And, you know, there's a narrative reason for that. This game is very pretty. I think it's actually very well acted. I'm not a huge fan of mob stories, but this one seems pretty decent. It takes place in the early to mid-1930s. Late Depression era. Prohibition, and then the end of Prohibition. So you're working for this Don in this, the city's called Lost Heaven, but I believe it's supposed to be a take on Chicago.
Are there mountains? The great mountains of Chicago?
I don't believe there's any mountains. It's also not specifically, it does not call itself Chicago. It's just... It is designed to kind of be that, you know, the Al Capone type era of the mob in Chicago at that time. I think it was Capone in Chicago. I don't know. It's pretty good. I like the story. The characters are good. The gameplay's fine. I actually boosted it down to easy because I was getting my ass kicked in any sort of combat. Like AI is super aggressive and you cannot take a lot of hits. And it's one of those games too where your health does not come back. So you need to find a medical station, which are weirdly just set up in garages and like here's a mini map. There's the cross to identify health. And then it's just like a first aid kit station or something. You go up to it and now you have all your health back, but it's very old school in that design. But yeah, I like it. I think it's pretty good. Visually it looks great. There's a couple instances where like the lighting just makes it look a little funky, but overall, like good facial work on the cutscenes and on the actual characters. Cars are cool. That's Earl's puppy.
Earl, stop barking at me.
I think it's $30. So we're 60 if you want the entire trilogy, including the Mafia 2 remaster, which it's not a remake like this. I guess they just cleaned up the visuals. And then Mafia 3, which is a this gen game. I guess they also cleaned up the visuals on that a little bit and added all the content. So
and did bug fixes, apparently.
And yeah. I like Mafia 3 is a traditional open world game. Like you go to points on a map, there are some things to do. Yep, Earl, you okay?
Oh no, I was, for some reason it's not picking up my mic, it's picking up my head. Yeah, go on.
Okay. I don't know. Mafia 3 I thought was good. That's why I thought I'd go back and try this version of Mafia. I do like the different eras. I think they kept to do a good capture of it. There's three different radio stations, which is expected in any of these games. It's like jazzy type music or big band type music. And then occasionally you'll get like some talk radio where they give like news. They're talking about like one point you drive by and then they're talking about how Germany has a new chancellor, Adolf Hitler. It's like, Oh,
that's great.
That's a thing that you don't want to happen in this virtual world, because that's going to be shitty for you. I think it's a good pickup if you're looking for a fun, like, contained action game. It gives you that open world feel, but it's not really an open world game. And that's it for games this week. Earl wrote down a couple news stories here. Minecraft Steve.
Minecraft Steve.
I love the Minecraft Steve.
The announcement that broke Twitter. I don't even know if that's true or not, but
it did. Twitter did go down right as this announcement happened.
Yeah, it was really funny because I saw that announcement. I'm just like refreshing Twitter because I need the visceral reactions to the fact that the new Smash Brothers character is Minecraft Steve. And there were a lot of reactions to that announcement.
There were some people that were not happy with that announcement.
Yeah. And, I completely 100% get it from a business standpoint. I mean, Minecraft is the biggest game in the world right now.
Yeah.
It has been for the last decade or so. But I think more importantly than that, and I made this point on Twitter, is that Minecraft Steve being in this game is to a generation what Sonic being in Brawl was to us.
Sure.
Because, I mean, make no mistake about it, there's a reason he's positioned against Mario. He's positioned against no other character in the intro except for Mario. And that is done on purpose. That is to say that he is on that level. Like, you look at, the one I think of, K. Rool and Banjo-Kazooie. They were with Donkey Kong. Simon and Trevor Belmont were with Luigi. you know, just off the top of my head, this just was with so Mario. Like, you don't like, this is like if you team up with Batman in DC Comics, it means that you are up there for them, or they're trying to make you up there. So the fact that it was one on one with him meeting Mario just shows that Nintendo also understands the importance of this brand. And again, I imagine there are a lot of kids between, you know, I would say maybe 7 and 14 who this means the world to.
Oh, and sure.
I'm not saying that in a derogatory way. I'm saying it, like I said, it's the same exact way that we felt. I mean, I can't speak for you two, but I would imagine people of our generation felt the first time Sonic and Mario interacted in Smash Brothers.
I felt
the whole lot for that, girl. So much. Touched me. It was not, like my children being born and then Sonic and Mario coming together.
It's not our fault John Madden can't make an appearance in Smash Brothers.
I mean, he could, and how great would that be?
I mean, if they got Madden to do commentary for Smash Brothers, that would be a ton of fun. But
The responses I saw to this were like, well, it should have been Crash or anybody else that they were saying. It's just like, this makes the most sense. Like, it doesn't get any bigger than Minecraft.
Yeah. You could say Crash. Minecraft is bigger than that. Spyro, bigger than that. You could say, I mean, I had this discussion yesterday with a friend. Like, name a Nintendo character who is not in this game right now that is on that level that you really need. Like, there are Nintendo characters I would like to see, but like, you've gotten almost every major franchise they have.
Yep.
You could, like, somebody's like, you could do a new Pokemon character. Like, you just got Incineroar from Sword and Shield. You know, Fire Emblem's Overexposed, I think. You could do a new Zelda character, but we already have three versions of Link. Zelda and Ganon in the game.
Until they make Lactu playable, I'm out.
people were saying that like one of the champions from Age of Calamity could have been in it. But no, I mean, like, if especially if they're gonna, like, I mean, I know he has his fan. This is bigger than Joker. This is, I would say, bigger than K. Rool. This is bigger than Banjo. Like, those are great characters. They're associated with Nintendo, but like, as far as the grand scheme of things, like, and I bring this is I don't think there's been a Smash Brothers inclusion as big as this since Sonic, and Sonic wasn't even that big. It's just like growing up with that Sega Nintendo rivalry to see it. And that this has the same thing to it to a degree, where you have we have Banjo already, but again, this is the second Microsoft character in this franchise now.
Yeah. And it comes from the biggest game in the world, so.
Yeah. And honestly speaking, I can only speak for myself again. The character looks great. I mean, one, they captured the visual flair, but it also looks very fun and different from your typical Smash Brothers character, which is what I want from new characters, which is why I kind of get annoyed when they have like Fire Emblem characters or the Echo characters, where it's like, oh, it's just the same character to repaint.
And this comes with, you get Steve, you get Alex, who is the Minecraft girl version of Steve, the Enderman.
And I think Zombie.
There's four skins. The Zombie, which I don't think that's what they call them, but that's pretty iconic too, so. You're getting like four characters here. That's pretty cool. I did like the special moves they have, like, looked really neat. Is this also coming with a level, or is it just
characters? It looks like it's coming with a cut. I don't know if it's a level you can build up, but it has the Minecraft aesthetic to it. And creepers. I play Minecraft Dungeon. That's my early exposure to Minecraft, and I know some of the lingo. But yeah, it's stuff like that. And yeah, so I'm excited for this. The one thing that would be noted, and one, I think people know, it's probably was security at E3 announcement, because they have a video on today. They have a video on Saturday to show you how to play as a character. It's like, why have an announcement in a video 2 days later?
Yeah.
But yeah, it looks fun. We just don't know the date. We don't know when it's coming out.
I wonder if this would have been announced on Microsoft stage.
I wonder who that would have been. Something
that would have been like an interesting thing. Like just have like, hey, look, they drop all the Series X information, the Series S. They drop their, you know, they probably end up with their price, but you know, they also throw in the middle like, and yeah, we have an announcement for all of our Nintendo fans too. that would have been crazy. But this still was huge news for Smash. I probably won't play more Smash, but I did like what Steve looked like. In less happy news, I guess it came out this week that CD Projekt Red is instituting some mandatory crunch to finish Cyberpunk in the next few weeks, I guess.
How dare they?
Yeah, well, I guess the issue is that they said that they weren't going to be doing
that.
They
said they absolutely wouldn't do that, that they'd learn their lessons, and this wouldn't happen again.
The funny thing is, they said that in 2018. They reaffirmed it in 2019, and it seems like after they reaffirmed it, pretty much 2 months later, they went into crunch.
Yeah.
So...
yeah.
Which is even more trying, because the game was delayed, 7 months from the original release date?
It was supposed to be May, yes. So.
I think it was April.
Yeah.
Was it April?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, and then it's like, oh, we're not going to do... because I remember people giving them credit for them specifically saying, we are not going to do crunch. We are not going to do crunch. And here we are, at crunch time.
That's right. Now, how long have they been crunching?
So we don't know.
There's various reports on that. It sounds like some people have been crunching since we went into lockdown.
Oh God!
Like, I mean, this is all voluntary,
right? Right. That's the whole thing. Like, it's voluntary, except if you don't crunch, you can't get a promotion. You miss out on bonuses. The next round of layoffs, you're the first to go. Like, it's not mandatory. Like, you have to participate.
Go ahead, Earl.
Oh, no, I was just going to say that like any job, I assume overtime's always voluntary until it reflects poorly on you in some fashion. Like, oh, you're not a team player. Oh, you don't work as hard as everybody else. So it's like, you don't have to do it, but we're going to let you know that you should do it.
Exactly. And I guess they, I don't know if this was CD Projekt Red going out or if this was them pushing this out or if this was just news that leaked to Bloomberg. And it was CD Projekt Red's way of like, you know, making their employees feel better about this. But I guess they're going to share 10% of the profits of the company. There's a big asterisk on that, though. It's 10% of the profits for this year.
Oh, so, I mean, to be fair, a lot of these games are front-noted, but that is also just a dick move.
Yes. And, you know, yes, you're going to get a giant chunk out of it. But also, I wonder how, like, what's the fancy accounting that they're going to do?
Right.
Because we're in the middle of a pandemic, like... What are the profit numbers actually? It's not the profits of the game; it's the profits of the company. So, depends
on
where.
Yeah, you never know what have they deducted this year to make it look like they made less of a profit.
Right.
Because I mean, really, the higher profit is, the more taxes you have to pay. So it's to your benefit to make it look like you made less money.
Yep. So it's this. At first, people were like, "Oh, well, 10% of like you know a game that's going to sell 10, 12 million copies. That's huge. That's going to be great. Everyone's going to go home." But some, you know, armchair accountants have kind of looked at it and they will get a bonus most likely, but it is not going to be like some major life-changing bonus. It's going to be a couple thousand bucks, which maybe isn't enough to crunch for, but
right.
But also
now, the flip side to that, and maybe it's like, if you don't crunch, do you still get the bonus?
I don't know.
Because then it's like, it's making Contraband. Like,
and I guess the other question, how many employees opted out of the crunch?
Right.
Like, if none of them did, like, is that a mandatory crunch if everyone felt obligated to do it?
It's kind of like your work Christmas party where everybody's like, I don't want to go, but nobody wants to be the first person to say, I'm not going.
Exactly. And then it's also, they notice when you're not there at the work Christmas party too. Right. It's like, I've had, like, why do you go every year? Because I want to be seen. Like, right. I don't want to be there. I fucking hate it. But, like, they talk about you. I know the executives talk about you because I've been in those conversations where they go, well, where was X person at? I didn't see them. Oh, they weren't there. I don't know what they're doing when they're cataloging that in their brain. But to me, it's like, these people don't actually want to show the spirit. Like, we're giving them this party. They didn't even want to take advantage of that. Like, they don't want to be here. I don't know if that's true, but that's always how I felt about it. So,
yeah. And I assume that's the same thing. It's like, you know, if we were talking about so-and-so for promotion, but like, he doesn't work as hard. He doesn't seem to be a team player. But what is the other one that people like to use? You know, you're part of the family here. And
I hate that one.
I have a family at home.
Yeah, the ones who actually want to see me. They can guilt trip me, but I mean, I'm okay with that.
I worked for a trucking company the guy who ran the place was, you know, we're all one big happy family until you fire somebody. And
like, yeah, what happens to that family?
They're outside the circle of trust, obviously.
Like, who does that to their family? Well, I don't think this is going to prevent Cyberpunk from selling 10 to 12 million copies.
No, like, I mean, you already have people who are out there saying, like, you know, crunch is just a part of the industry. And it is. That is true. But the way you change it is by, you know, not making it acceptable to do it every time it comes up. Yeah. Or the fact of the matter is, like, at some point we should have an honest discussion with the gaming industry is that if every video game needs crunch, we are not planning correctly at some stage of the process.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That seems to be a big issue with game development is project management is bad. And Earl, you added one other piece of news here. I don't know what this is. Pokemon Sword and Shield. I know what that is. Yes. Crown Tundra.
It's the new. So they had their quote unquote battle pass or whatever come out this spring, and it included two expansions: the Isle of Armor, which was in the spring, and Crown Tundra.
Okay.
Yes.
So it's a second piece of the expansion.
Reason I know this is because my younger son has known the Crown Tundra was coming out this fall. And he asks me every single day, is it out yet? Is it out yet? I was so happy when they announced a date so that I could finally be like, it's coming out October 22nd. Leave me alone.
Tony's on top of this one. But yes, they had a Pokemon Direct this week that went over the count. Crown Tundra, the most important part of it is the release date. It's October 22nd, so Tony just has to wait 3 more weeks. But yeah, it's a meteor expansion, because the Isle of Armor ended up just mostly being more wild area and training and stuff like that. This seems to have more story elements. It has you can rebattle the champions and stuff like that. You can do the tournament now with it's 2v2, so you get to mix and match with different champions. So the 8 people you beat in the game to become the champion of the title. All the legendary Pokemon from the previous generations are in this. More Pokemon from previous generations are coming. They're doing a Pokemon Go to Pokemon Home link up now. And then you can go from Pokemon Go to Pokemon Home to Pokemon Sword and Shield. I think there's an exclusive Pokemon in that way as well. But yeah, apparently we need to have Tony's son on to explain this all to us. I enjoy Pokemon, but I saw it, I'm like, this looks cool, and then I'm like, I'll probably get it, but I don't know. And oh, and then you can get different versions of Pikachu, which I have to redeem. You can get Ash's version of Pikachu right now with a code. And over the next 3 weeks, they'll have, I think there's going to be 8 different variations of Pikachu in total, which is just Pikachu with a different hat on.
Okay. I was like, what is the difference?
If you ever play Pokemon Go, they have this all the time where it's like Pikachu in a Christmas hat, Pikachu in a surfer's outfit. Nothing different about it. It's just a hat.
Just a cosmetic change.
Yeah.
Got it. All right. Well, I hope Tony's son enjoys Crown Tundra.
He better.
He better enjoy it. He's been bothering me for 4 months. No, that's good. Hope he has a good time with that. There's not really anything else going on this week.
There was one piece of news, very minor, I guess, is that they announced that they're working on a Yakuza movie from a company I've never heard of before, Wild Chief and 1212. I will be fair, I don't necessarily know all movie companies, but I have an idea of usually when I see a name of like, oh, they made such and such. I do not know either of these companies by name. I also found out that there was a direct-to-video Yakuza movie made in Japan in 2007, so hopefully I get to check that out sometime soon.
You have to report back to us and tell us how the direct-to-video Yakuza movie went.
In Japan, and the bright side is I do think they would capture the silliness of the franchise. I don't think this Western one's going to do that.
No, I think you said in our chat that they're probably just going to cast some white dude in it, which would be awful, but likely. So, yeah, that's it for what we've got going on. Earl, you started your 31 Days of Horror. What did you watch today?
I watched Cemetery Man, which is such I can't even put into words what I watched.
Okay.
It was a strange movie, and I'm still trying to process if I enjoyed it or not. And then I watched Scare Me, which is on Shudder, mostly because I wanted to test out my Discord streaming, which apparently isn't great. That was interesting. I enjoyed it overall. I think they could have done more with the premise, but I do think they do a really good job of building up the tension and suspension by the end of it that you really do kind of question what's going to happen at the end. And it does take the time you expect, but not in the way you expect, I think.
Tony, you doing anything for Spooky Month?
I don't know. I don't normally.
Are they bringing back that spooky version in Apex where you play at night and there's zombies?
So everybody hates the night map.
It's impossible to see anything.
Yeah, it's not really well done unless you have, like, I have an Xbox One X. So, like, I can see super well, but I'm playing with Walt, who's playing on a normal Xbox, and he can't see anything. So, like, I am guessing, like, anybody playing on a vanilla version of a PS4 or an Xbox One can't, like, literally is at a huge disadvantage to people like me.
Yeah, so, you probably need the HDR lighting, right? Like,
yeah, without it, you're kind of, it's hard to tell where people are. And the game itself has been having issues lately with the sound. Not so much you can't hear things, but a lot of people are having issues with, like, directionally. Like, you're listening to your surround sound and you can't tell which direction things are. Or people will walk up behind you and you can't hear them at all. So to combine that with, you know, darkness and not being able to see makes for a very unpleasant experience. So I'm assuming there won't be a dark map this time around, but who knows? Maybe.
I'm doing 31 Days of Horror, too. I watched Tetsuo the Iron Man, and like Earl's first movie, it was weird. It was a weird fucking movie, and I'm still not sure what I watched, so.
Just to kind of tie it into video games and horror, Microsoft is doing a thematic Games of Gold this month, So you get CIOA Camp, Butcher's Cut, Maida's Gear Scar, Sphinx and the Cursed Mummy, which is a personal favorite of mine, and the original Costume Quest. So those are for spooktacular, I mean, they're horror-based in different ways, but those are four games you can get now or throughout the month.
I've heard good things about Slayaway Camp, so I don't know if they're true, but I've heard good things. So
I've not even heard of it. I mean, it's free. I will get it, I guess, and maybe check it out next week.
And Sphinx and the what mummy?
Sphinx and the Cursed Mummy.
Sphinx and the Cursed Mummy. That just received a remake, didn't it?
It's the version that came out last year on the Xbox One and stuff like that. I don't know if it's a remake, but like, yeah, it was remastered and re-released on HD console. And if you, it's a mixture of the Legend of Zelda and I don't know if WarioLand 3 and 4, if you remember those specifically, were games where Wario couldn't die. So parts of the puzzles was like finding ways to damage Wario to continue the game. So like you set him on fire to burn through something, or you'd get him squished to walk underneath something.
Got it.
And that's kind of how the Sphinx works in this game. The Sphinx can't die because it's already dead. I mean, the mummy can't die because it's already dead. So you find different ways to kind of interact with the environment by causing it harm. And then the Sphinx kind of plays like a traditional Zelda game, where it's kind of like overworld, you go through dungeons, solve puzzles, defeat bosses, get upgrades.
That sounds like a Jeff game.
It was very much an Earl game when I was younger. It's always one of those things where I'm kind of iffy on going back, but I enjoyed it when I was younger.
Well, I will give that one a shot when that hits sometime this month. We'll be back next week. I will have Star Wars Squadrons. I'm sure there'll be some other stuff. Rumor is that PS5s will be out in the wild for reviewers to take a look at next week, so we'll see if that happens.
We just got Mario Kart 5 trailer, which looks great. I'm just waiting for that to go up on pre-orders.
That's still not up, right? That nope. Comes out soon, doesn't it?
Comes out in 2 weeks, the 16th.
That's crazy that there's no pre-orders for that yet.
Wow, that is insane.
Earl will be mad dashing to get them.
Yep, I will not buy new systems, but my two big pre-orders are Mario Kart 5 and a set of Mario pins. Those are the two things I've been frustrated about all autumn.
We all have our quirks. So we'll be back next week. Maybe we'll be able to tell you that Earl was able to pre-order a Mario Kart Live. Earl, say goodnight.
And farewell.